Yes, we did have a camp last week, and we had lots of fun, and I think even Derek said he might consider coming next week based on the feedback, so we'll see if that miracle takes place. But we had lots of fun, and lots of good times with the family, and swimming and hiking. I think the competition, the Super Tube competition, it was a close tie between Stefan and David, who came down the fastest, but I think David won in the end, Stefan. It was quite a triumphant entry into the pool, but we had lots of fun as the campus. I want to encourage you, next year we're going to be doing it again, so please sign up for that. Next year it's going to be an amazing time as a family. Now, last week I spoke about, I brought a message at the camp around being the body of Christ. And I started sharing around 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this morning I'm wanting to take it slightly further. I'm wanting to share a message with you called Becoming Bodybuilders. Okay? Becoming Bodybuilders. Now, when you think, or when I think of bodybuilding, I think of Moja, and I think of Tace, but somehow my mind races back to the 80s, and I think this was the 80s, of Arnie, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, in the movies, you know, where he's been pumping iron, and there's way too much muscle and testosterone and oil and too little clothing, and you know, you kind of get these images of these bodybuilders, and it gets even scarier when you Google images of ladies bodybuilding, okay? So, but the message that I'm wanting to share with you this morning is not this message. It's not about bodybuilding in the flesh. Hallelujah. Can I get an amen on that? Okay. Your pastor's not losing it. So we're not going to be talking about going to the gym, but please go and support the gym, and they're doing amazing work there. But I'm not wanting to talk about bodybuilding in that sense. I'm wanting to speak about spiritual bodybuilding. I want to share a message with you this morning. Becoming bodybuilders in the body of Christ. So becoming bodybuilders of the body of Christ. And there are a couple of scriptures that I'm wanting us to have a look at. For those that are visiting this morning, welcome to our MTP troops over there. I think there are a few of them here this morning. It's great to have you with us this morning. We as a family, as a church family, we've been busy with a series on the Holy Spirit. And for about 3 or 4 weeks, we've basically been looking, what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? We had a look, and we stood still at Luke. We stood still at his second book, Acts. And like I said last week, he said Luke spoke about the power to proclaim, being anointed and empowered for witness. And then last week we moved on at the camp to what Paul had to say. And Paul, I said to you last week, spoke about these images of being the body of Christ. Can you remember that message? You are the body. I belong to you. You belong to me. We are the body of Christ. That was last week's message. And so this morning I'm wanting to take that a little bit further. And I said we would eventually get to the gifts. And that's what this morning is about. And so Paul took a lot of time and effort to paint this picture. I said to you last week that Jesus spoke in parables. Jesus spoke in images and stories that the people could understand. He spoke the language of that time. He spoke the language of the people on the ground, of that economy. He spoke in agrarian terms, in terms of agriculture and sheep and the vine and fruit and fig trees and fishing. Those were the stories he told, because those were the things that those people understood, especially in Galilee and in the northern parts of Israel. That was the economy. That was the language of the time. That's why he used those examples. And what I said last week was, Paul writes it slightly differently. He uses different examples. And I believe he's using examples that were current and understandable to the people of those cities. That would be Rome and that would be Corinth. The metropolitan cities, the big cities of those times. Like I said, the Joburgs and the Cape Towns of South Africa. So when you go and do a Mighty Men in the Karoo, Then you talk about farming and sheep and weather and elements and stuff that the farmers on the ground understand. I've heard that testimony many times. The farmers relate to Uma Angus. They relate to him. They'll travel from all over the country and go and set national records and get up to 1 million people in Bloemfontein. Why? Because they relate to him. They feel that he's a spokesperson for the nation, but more so he's a spokesperson for what a lot of the farmers are going through. That's why Angus has been used as a leader, as an apostolic figure, as a prophet, I would even say, to our nation in this time. That mantle rests on him, no doubt. So people can relate to the stories he's telling. In Rome and Corinth, Paul uses different language. He doesn't talk about fishing and sheep and the vine, because that's not where they are. They are in the hubs of trading exchanges. They're in the busiest cities. Rome and Corinth were the big cities of that time. And so he uses different language. He uses slightly more complicated images. And the image that he uses is the image of the physical body. So those who were at the camp last week, you're just going to have to hang in there for 2 minutes as I recap this for those that weren't there. But the image Paul uses is the physical body. And he says, just as the physical body is one body with many parts that we can see and that we can't see, inside and outside, he says, so is my body, my bride, my Christ, your church. And he says, so just like you are this body and you have all these parts and they all have different functions, yet they are all still related and connected to one another, so it is with my church. And this is where you need to focus, in the context of gifts. And that's where we've been building up to. As we've been understanding and learning about the Holy Spirit, I said to you we would eventually get to, in my opinion, the exciting part of the Holy Spirit, the gifts. And the word there is the charismata, which means the grace gifts. We're going to get to 1 Corinthians 12 now. But Paul is saying, he kind of takes a long-winded way to get to eventually the gifts. And he's saying, just like you have human bodies with different parts in, so is my church. And just as my church is like the human body, so is the gifts in my church. You understand that? So just like you have a heart and lungs and brains and feet and eyes and nose, so in the body you've got prophecy, you've got healing, you've got faith, you've got tongues, you've got interpretation of tongues. They all come from the same Spirit. And so this is the picture. This is where we're going to stand still this morning. 1 Corinthians 12. I'll open with this verse. It says, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. And so the situation in the church of Corinth, if you focus especially on chapters 12 to 14, Paul actually has to address their eagerness for the gifts. It seems that they are too zealous in the gifts. And so everybody, like if they would have a church service this morning, man, we'd have like 50 people coming up to the mic. We'd have like 20 tongues with only 5 interpretations. And there'd be 100 testimonies. The people were excited about the gifts of the Spirit. And so he actually has to address two things. The first thing is their eagerness and how that needs to kind of be managed. And secondly, it's the order in church. So it seems that in Corinth, it was going a little bit hectic in their churches. Their meetings were a little bit, how can I say, robust. What would be the word? Chaotic is the word. Their meetings clearly were chaotic. And that's what Paul is speaking into it. And he starts it off by saying, I want you to be eager for the gifts. Well, since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, he says, try to excel. So he's not saying, guys, you're not meant to get excited about the gifts. In fact, he says the opposite. I know you're really eager for it, but try to excel in the gifts that build up the body. Hence my message this morning, becoming bodybuilders for Jesus. Try to excel in those gifts that build up the body. So let's go and have a look at the next scripture there, 1 Corinthians 12. And he starts it off here and he says, now about the gifts of the Spirit. The New King James says, now concerning the gifts of the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be ignorant or uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Let's just stand still there for a little while. So Paul's writing to this church that are eager for the gifts, that are passionate about the gifts. Yet he, in his first line, would seem to address a bit of their ignorance. And he's saying, concerning these spiritual things, concerning, the Greek word is the charismata, the grace gifts. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be uninformed. And then he teaches them on the gifts. Remember what's just happened. Jesus has promised his disciples that they need to go and wait in Jerusalem. Power from on high will come upon them and they will be witnesses. That happens. Jesus leaves. And Paul eventually plants the churches. And so the Spirit is poured out and the Spirit starts manifesting, not just in Jerusalem, but in Samaria and in Judea and to all the Gentiles. And so we have the outpouring of the Spirit happening. And so when you have the outpouring of the Spirit, you have the outpouring of the Spirit's manifestation in the form of gifts. And that's what we must remember about the gifts of the Spirit. They come from the Spirit. They come from the Father. They are not your natural talents that you are born with per se. Sometimes God would use those as well. But the first thing that we must realize about the gifts is that they are supernatural. They are given by God. And we will see now he decides who gets what. Okay? He says, I do not want you to be uninformed. Now he starts teaching in them. There are different kinds of gifts, but they come from the same Spirit, and the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of service, same Lord, different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everything, or everyone, it is the same God at work. He's referencing the triune God there, the Lord, God, Spirit. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So he says that the Spirit decides who he gives what gift to, and the purpose of that gift is for the common good of the church, for building up, for edification. So do we need the gifts in this in church, or don't we need the gifts? We do need the gifts. We can choose to ignore the gifts as the church. We can sing worship songs and praise songs with a pure heart. I can preach my best. But I think we would be selling ourselves short as a church if we hadn't gone on this journey of trying to say, Lord, is there more? And that's the word that's been coming since we came here. It's the first word Jolene preached, walking in the Spirit. Those were the original words when me and my wife came here a year and a half ago. It's the Lord wants to do something more. And we've been kind of following him step for step. And I believe the journey that he's wanting to take us on is the journey of walking in the fullness of the Spirit. And when you're walking in the fullness of the Spirit, like Graham said the other day, we've got that fire triangle. We've got the apostolic, evangelical teacher anointing kicking in. We've got the gifts of the Spirit. And we've got the fruit of the Spirit. Remember that? And so if we're saying we want more of the Spirit, we're saying we want more of his gifts, and we want more of his fruit. That's what it means. And so church, that's the journey that I believe we are on, and that's why I can just say amen to what Liesl is saying, because I can taste it. It's like I can sense the rain is coming. And I'm expectant. And I know that God wants us to understand this more, and then eventually to walk in it more. And we're getting there. And I'm proud of the you as a church. I'm proud of the people that are bold enough to come forward and to share their testimonies and to share words, because that's what the Lord wants. He wants His gifts to manifest in church. So let's get to it. Let's get to the list. Next slide. So now Paul takes it further and he unpacks the 9 gifts. He says, to one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So just like the body gets formed by the Lord and He decided that we would have a heart here and a brain here and feet down there, it's the same with the gifts. Our gifts, they're our body parts. Our body parts, in a sense, they say, just like that, you have a human body with different parts. Here's my body, and here are the gifts that make up the body for the functioning and the building up of my body. Now, the word says that the Spirit distributes them to each one just as He determines, which means we don't choose our spiritual gifts. That's the first thing we need to realize this morning, and actually maybe make a peace with some of us, because there are some exciting gifts. Look, the power gifts are very exciting. If you can go to Paul Hospital and clear out the wards there, and then I mean it's amazing. But not everybody has that gift. And so that's the first thing we need to realize, is that the Spirit decides who He gives the gifts to and in what measure. I said to the guys in prison this week, we were ministering there, and I said, man, in the natural, I would have loved to be taller and perhaps for my hair not to fall out. But I don't decide that. God decided I'll look like that and I would age like that. It's the same with the spiritual gifts. God decides. The Spirit decides who gets faith, who gets healing, who can prophesy, who operates in the office of the prophet. We don't choose them. So that's the first thing that we need to realize this morning, is they are gifts. Just like we receive gifts on your birthday or Christmas. It's not. Sometimes we can put in an order if we know them well, you know. But most of the time a gift is a surprise. Hence the moment where you're wrapping off the paper and it's meant to be a surprise. Well, it's very much the same with the Spirit. And I want to ask you, have you unwrapped? Have you got to that place where it's Christmas morning or it's your birthday, and you've gone and found out what boxes are under your tree in the Spirit? Do you know what presents you got? Do you know what gifts you got? And the little bit that I've read up is that this is a neglected area in church, even in Pentecostal charismatic. I've heard of the gifts. Can you name any of them? No, not really. When it comes to the things of the Spirit, the general consensus out there is that the average churchgoer does not even, he can't list the gifts. She cannot list the gifts. And so in that sense, we're sitting with presents under our tree and we haven't opened them. And God is saying, I gave them so that you can have church better, that you can build each other up. And so the call this morning is, go open the presents. Figure out what they are. What are your gifts? What has the Lord given to you? What is your unique gift given by the same Spirit? Because chances are they very different to the person that's sitting next to you. And here's the important thing. It's one thing opening them. It's another thing reading the manual of your present and figuring out how exactly to use that thing to maximum efficiency and capacity. To use it for the purpose it was designed for. What, wouldn't it be sad if we one day get to heaven and we like, well, we only opened 3 of the 10 boxes and I only used, you know, 2 of the 10 functions, Lord. Sorry. And so I believe the onus is on us not to just go and open the presents under the tree, but to figure out to how to use the present we were given. Because it was given with a purpose. It wasn't given to remain under a tree or unused. It was given that you would bless your brothers and your sisters in the body that you were placed. So this morning I want to say to you, I need you, you need me, I need the gifts in you, you need my gift. And that's the journey we're on. The journey of opening our presence. Some of you have been there for years. You operating at full capacity and you know what's going on. But my gut feel is that most of us are not there. As I'm working and studying the scriptures around the gifts, I realize I'm not there. I've got a gut feel of maybe one or two or three. But very often we kind of relate that to our natural giftings. So I'm shy, so I'm not a preacher or a teacher, or, you know, I'll be more in the mercy gifts, you know. I'll go and do the work that nobody sees. And the Lord is fine with that. But He wants the full spectrum of His gifts to operate and manifest in His church. Amen? Amen. So, I am trying to stand in the gift of teaching this morning that it would be a blessing for you. I know that next week we are receiving people here that operate in the gift of prophecy and healing. That's why Andre and Sonico are coming. We recognize their gift. We recognize their gift to activate. So that's why I'm teaching that at Klapiso, because that's my gift. So you've heard a lot from me. Luckily, the word says in Acts that the teacher and the prophet go together. You can't have one. If you just have teaching, you get an unbalanced diet. If you just have prophecy, with no teaching, there's the chance that you'll get derailed and go off into something weird. So the teacher and the prophet, they counterbalance each other. So that's why Andre is coming in next week. He's very different from me, you will see. But I'm excited. I'm excited to be built up by His gift. I'm excited for gifts to be activated next week. Because Him and Sonika, they carry that anointing. They can activate. And so we say, thank you, Jesus, for people like that. Come and minister. Come build up. Come do some bodybuilding in Franschhoek for Jesus. So, this morning is a teaching, okay? So, the 9 gifts, I'm going to take you through them this morning. I need you to concentrate. It's quite a lot of information. So they are the message of wisdom, the message of knowledge, the gift of faith, gifts of healing, notice the plural there, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So this is Paul's list of 9 gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. He's also got a list that I shared in the book of Romans last week that are slightly different. There's some overlap, and then there's some gifts listed in Ephesians. So in those 3 books, you have got gift lists. Many commentators, many scholars are saying that isn't the extensive list. Those aren't extensive lists, but these are the gifts that he wanted us to become aware of, which means there may be some gifts that are not per se mentioned, but these are the ones that are mentioned, and so those are the ones we're going to focus on this morning. So let's break it down. I want to take you through each gift this morning. And the first one is what's called the message of wisdom. The message of wisdom. Now we need to distinguish between natural wisdom and the gift of wisdom that comes through a message of wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And so I've been reading probably the top New Testament scholar on this, a guy called Gordon Fee, who's a very well-known North American New Testament scholar. And his book, God's Empowering Presence, spends a lot of time on the gifts. And so I've basically gone and had a look at what he said. And then in one of his references, he referenced another guy in the UK called Donald Gee. So it's Gordon Fee and Donald Gee. Gee and Fee this morning. that we're going to be, in most cases, referencing. But they're kind of worlds apart. Gordon Fee is this eminent scholar, and Donald Gee was this British evangelist in the 40s and 50s, and he wasn't per se a scholar, but Fee just reckons his understanding of the actual practicalities of the Holy Spirit is so good, and even exegetically, his interpretation of Scripture is also so good that he says we need to go and read this guy as well. So I think we've got a nice balance between, in a sense, theory and practice this morning. And I've tried to put those two together, kind of between your more evangelical type teaching and your full-on Pentecostal charismatic. So I think we've got a nice taste of everything. So the message of wisdom, the interesting thing that both said is that this thing of wisdom, we must remember, is something that we receive from the Holy Spirit. Obviously, the word also says we use our natural gifts to make decisions. But in the context of a gift or utterance of wisdom, it could be an anointed teaching. It could be a moment in a sermon where you just know, man, I didn't prepare that. But in the moment, the Holy Spirit dropped something or anointed that pastor or that teacher or that Bible school teacher, and you just know, man, the Spirit is on him right now. That would be a message or utterance of wisdom. They say that governance in churches as well, would the Holy Spirit can anoint a elder or a pastor or a leader or a small group leader in terms of, I suppose, governance. It would be more your elders. So they would make the right decision in a difficult situation. So saying, Lord, we don't know what to do. Holy Spirit, lead us now. And they would wait on the Holy Spirit. Do we buy the building? Do we open this new ministry? And there would maybe be a word. That would be a word of wisdom in the moment that they need it. You get it? So they're applying natural wisdom. And obviously in the council of many, there is wisdom. That's what the Bible also says. But we're talking about a gift here. We're talking about the bestowal of a momentary gift or utterance of wisdom. So it's given by the Spirit. The other thing that both of them said was that in the context of Corinth, and I explained this to you last week, the people in Corinth were obsessed with knowledge and information. That was the thing to do in those times. It was to see how much you could know and to listen to as many people that knew a lot. And so Paul, on purpose, uses the first two gifts in contrast to the natural thing that's happening in that city. So there's this obsession with knowledge, and he's saying, you know what, there's a different knowledge that comes by the Spirit. It's an utterance of wisdom, and it's a momentary message of knowledge. And so these guys, Fee is saying, in a sense, he's rescuing or redeeming the gift from the fascination with knowledge and pride that was happening in that city. It's a supernatural revelation, knowledge. An example would be, how did Peter know that Ananias and Sapphira kept back some of the money? By the Spirit, in the moment. A message of knowledge in the moment. It could also refer to inspired teaching or insight. Therefore, a message of knowledge is a Spirit utterance of some revelatory kind. So there's revelation in the moment, and it doesn't come by the counsel of many. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Other examples. People that are supporting missionaries, they count countless testimonies of, I've got a sense we need to pray for them there in Ghana or Malaysia right now. There's something wrong. Come, let's come together. Let's pray. Let's intercede for an hour. How many testimonies have we heard of that? And then, like, you get a phone call later or a WhatsApp or something saying, you know, the attackers came into the house and, you know, we were held up, but God delivered us. And, like, it's like, how did the two know? How did the one know how to pray for the other? By the Spirit. By the Spirit. In that moment, they just knew. Utterance was there. Knowledge was there. The other scary one, sorry, just go back there again. message of knowledge. You'll see those that move in the prophetic will come into a church and they'll say, the brother over there at the back, you need to stop sinning in that area of your life. And then you're like, oh my goodness, he doesn't know my name. He doesn't know anything about me. How does he know that about me? It's a gift of prophecy, but it's also a word of knowledge. I mean, I think it was Joanne sharing with me about Suzette Hutting operating in Wellington a few months ago. And it is scary. You get very uncomfortable in your seat. You're like, oh my goodness, she can see right into me. It's like, please, Lord, don't show her that. I repent, I repent, I repent. Why does that happen? It happens because God gave somebody the gift of knowledge. With the gift of prophecy. And so the two work together. And they're given for the building up of the body. So we got the first two. Those are what we call the utterance gifts. The third one is faith. And you would think, why would Paul use faith in his gift listings? And I think he obviously knew that faith is linked to our salvation, that we only come to Jesus by faith and we accept what he has done. We accept the grace by faith in him. So there is this thing of faith when we come to Christ. We come to faith. But this is something different. He's not talking about your salvation faith. He's not talking about when you came to Jesus. He's talking about a very specific faith here. By faith in this context, it's that faith which moves mountains, Fee says. He calls it the special faith. That knowing that you're going to be all right. When all your circumstances are saying, freak out. And you just, it's often like this, it's like in a marriage, like the one is freaking out, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And the other is like, the Lord's got this. The Lord's got this. You know people like that. He just knows. How do you know? How do you know you're going to be all right? I just know. I've got faith. And then they're all right. It's that faith that's linked to something that the Spirit has given you. The example here is Elijah on Mount Carmel. And you know what happened there is it's the showdown between Elijah and the prophets. And they're cutting themselves and they're going ballistic and they're doing their miracles and stuff. And Elijah's actually mocking them. And he's saying, now watch this. How fire comes down from heaven and consumes the sacrifice on the altar. And he's saying, you know what, just throw a lot of water over the altar as well and soak the offerings in water as well. I mean, come on. How did he know that if a lightning rod or a fire ball was going to come? How did he know that? How can he go up against all the prophets? National event, the TV crews are there. It's a moment. And it's a showdown between the devil, in a sense, and God. What happens if it didn't come down? He would forever be recorded in history as the one who missed God. He had faith. And very often this faith, I must say, in my opinion, is linked to your intimacy with God. How well you know God. But I believe there are moments where the Spirit pours out faith into your heart for a specific situation. I think that's the gift of faith that Paul is referring to. And you will know people like that. They just have faith. It's going to be all right. God's going to come through. Don't get moved. Don't get shaken. Don't freak out. All these circumstances are talking to him. The wind and the waves of their lives are blowing and they're just asleep in their boat because Jesus is with them. And there are a lot of us that are not like that. Paul's saying it's a gift. There's your gift of salvation. There's a separate gift of faith the gift of faith. Number four, the gifts of healings. Now this one is an interesting one, and there's a lot written on healing, and there are a lot of people that believe that that the gifts have ceased. They call the cessationists, and they believe that the gifts stopped to manifest, that the gifts don't work anymore. But Paul is very clear here. And in the life of Jesus and Paul and the apostles, they lived in the expectation of physical healing taking place in people's bodies. And everything that I've read is said, this is not medical science. Okay, so medical science is wonderful. Please, we're not saying it, don't go to the doctors. Go to the doctors. God anointed them as well to learn and study in medical science to develop. Do all of that. But there's something different that the Lord has also given through a gift, and it's the gifts of healings. The guys are saying it's most likely given to the person God is using for the healing. So it's given to the person that's perhaps praying for the person that needs healing, not per se to the person that's receiving healing. Now there's faith involved in both those as well, but we're not going to look at that right now. We're focusing just on healing. And Fee is saying that each occurrence may be a gift, hence the plural. He's saying that in each gift, in each manifestation of healing, that might be healing manifesting there, healing manifesting when you prayed for that, healing manifesting when you prayed for a foot or an arm or a back, and people are getting healed, hence gifts of healings. It's often linked to the office of the evangelist. So what you see in the Bible is, as they preached the word boldly, signs and wonders and healings followed them. If you speak to a Suzette Hatting, or you listen to her testimonies, or you have a Reinhard Bonke, they preach the gospel and literally millions of people come to salvation, and following that are signs and wonders and healings. So in many ways, the signs and the wonders and the power gifts back up the message of Christ, back up the story of Jesus. It's amazing how God uses them to support and in coordination, conjunction with salvation. Acts tells us that the power lies in the name of Jesus. The healings remain divine. They do not involve psychic or mental powers. I think that's what these scholars are saying. So what we must remember is we're not stirring up something in the natural yet to cause somebody to be healed. It literally is a gift that the Holy Spirit gives to a person to command or to pray for somebody to get healed. And so that's what you see in the book of Acts. Peter and John are going up to the temple. And I shared this last time when we looked at Acts, and there's the lame man that's lying there at the pool, and he's been there all his life. And one day these apostles walk by, and he asks them for money. And Peter says to him, "Silver and gold I do not have, but that which I do give have, I give to you. Stand up in the name of Jesus and walk." And that's the start of basically the apostolic anointing, the apostolic spread, is that miracle. And Peter and John get into a lot of trouble for what they did. And isn't it amazing how Jesus would often do these healings on the Sabbath just to freak them out a bit more? They're already freaked out by physical healing. But then he goes and does it on a Sunday as well to break some of the other laws. And the people are staring at Peter and John. And Peter has to say to them, "Do you think it was by our power that this man was healed? No, it was by faith in the name of Jesus." And so what we must remember is, as I read Luke Acts, it wasn't like they were begging for healing. It wasn't like they were even praying for healing very often. These apostles and the people that moved in the gift of healing, they just spoke it out in the name of Jesus. And obviously Andre comes with that gift, and we'll see how he operates next week. But it's amazing how I've seen these these people that operate in the gift of healing, and I've been in meetings, and then you're expecting like some moment where he says, okay, now I'm going to pray for healing for those that are sick. Doesn't happen like that. The meetings that I've been in, we're like worshiping for 3 hours before the time. I'm like, are we ever going to stop worshiping? They just worship and worship and worship and just get into God's presence. And then this guy that I saw that moved in the gift of healing, he doesn't announce now it's healing time. Out of the worship, out of beholding God, being in God's presence, he just starts commanding that sickness to leave like this. And the people just like start reacting and come up and start sharing testimonies. He's not even praying for them. He's just commanding, this sickness, be gone in Jesus' name. And that sickness, be gone in Jesus' name. That sickness, he just commands it. And then the testimonies come, and I believe, you know, Reinhardt is the same. They just command it, but they come from a place of being in the Father's presence, and then they access the key. The key is called the name of Jesus. And they turn the key, and then healing comes. The working of miracles, number 5, I'm nearly done. So healing could probably fit in here, but this includes all kinds of supernatural activities. And the Greek word there is the dunamis, the power. So it's the gift of power. Examples of this is people raised from the dead. Suzette shared a couple of those testimonies as well. And I know Pastor Fred is also... He's also prayed for people that get raised from the dead, and you're like, oh my word, how does my, it just breaks my brain. I don't know how that works. It's like, what did he do? Did he pray? You know, we're going to try and interpret, did he pray? Like, is there a recipe? How does this work? That's the whole point. It doesn't work like you think it works. It's a gift. It's a gift that's given through the Spirit. It's a power gift. It's called the power gifts. Other examples in Acts is, at some stages, Peter's shadow would just heal people. He doesn't even look at them. He just walks past them and they get healed as his shadow goes past them. At some stage, a handkerchief that Paul had, they go and get the handkerchief and they lay it on somebody else. A hanky. You don't explain these things. Now, some of you sitting here and I'm making you uncomfortable. And I'm glad about that. Because that's the thing about the things of the Spirit. We don't necessarily understand them. We're not meant to understand all of them. Must we understand how they fit into the Bible? Yes, that's why I'm trying to teach it this morning. But there is a part where the Holy Spirit decides, I give this, I give that to so and so. And it's divine. We've got nothing to do with it. It's not like we place an order and press pay and it arrives the next day with a courier. This stuff, it's divine. It comes from the Holy Spirit. That's what we're trying to understand. What gifts were we given? And what gifts are we meant to be operating in as this church? Let me go a bit faster. Prophecy. So Paul understood prophecy in the Old Testament context. Prophecy was a major thing in the Old Testament. The prophet, under the inspiration of the Spirit, he spoke to God's people concerning judgment, concerning danger, concerning blessing, telling them you need to choose. But the Old Testament prophets, the minor and the major prophets, they all there. You can go and read at what they were saying. They were God utterances in the moment, speaking on behalf of God to his people. After Pentecost, this becomes a widespread phenomenon. These are intelligible messages. So this is, a prophet brings a message you can understand. He speaks English or whatever language you understand. It's normally orally delivered for the edification of the body. Paul says that these words, they're ad hoc words, which means they're spontaneous words. That's the thing that you must remember about prophecy. Prophecy is not something necessarily that you heard last week and you bring it for somebody the following week. Prophecy is right now, in the moment. God, what are you saying? This is what you're saying. I speak it out. That's prophecy. Paul's saying, though, it must be weighed and tested. So the prophets that brought words in the church of Corinth, you would say, test those words. Let the words of the prophets be tested. The emphasis, like I said, is on sudden revelation. For some people, it's a gift, and some people actually move in the office of the prophet. Okay? So what you must remember, know about prophets is a prophet is generally, they're a prophet because you know they are prophets. They consistently bring an accurate word of the Lord. Their words get tested and generally, most of the time, are found to be spot on over a period of time. Does that mean prophets are perfect from the beginning? No. Prophets grow in their gifting. And initially they will make mistakes. I mean, Andre moves in the gift of prophecy. He tells us like his rookie mistakes. And we have a big fat laugh of it. But the fact was, he had faith to go out and to speak that word. And sometimes he made mistakes. And sometimes his pastor had to rebuke him. Say, if you want to bring that word, just really go make sure you heard from the Lord. And so then he got very humbled. Tail between the legs, gone and searched the Lord, but then stepped out in faith again. And so your prophet is your prophet because he consistently brings the word of the Lord. So generally, there are not too many prophets operating in one church. You will know who the prophetic people in our church are. Because they consistently, over time, we actually learn to trust them, if I can put it that way. And so they move in the office of the prophet. Let's go to our last three. They'll go quicker. Discernment of spirits. This confuses some of the people, but it's not to be confused with a critical spirit. Okay? So a lot of people think they've got discernment of spirits and they come to the pastor and they're actually just wanting to have a go at the pastor or their small group leader. And they come across spiritually saying, I'm discerning the spirit. Actually, they just cross with the pastor and offended and bring him a word. And so all the people that I've read here, so they say you really need to be careful with this gift. But the discernment of spirits, it can relate to the discerning of prophecies that are brought in church. It can also mean the testing of spirits, which are of God and which are not. What spirit is operating here now or not? And that ability to discern it. The last thing, the deception and imitation were always a danger. That's Satan's main game. It will always be his main game. So if he really wants to come up and mess a church, he brings in the counterfeit. He brings in the pseudo manifestation. The thing that looks like Christ, but something's not right here. The gift of the discernment of spirits helps us say, you know what, this is actually not the Holy Spirit speaking. This is something else speaking. Very important for the protection of the body. Different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. So tongues, you will know, tongues are used in your quiet time, as Paul says, for personal edification. So where you're speaking in tongues and there's no need for interpretation. It's just you and God. And spirit is connecting with spirit and there's edification taking place. That's what Paul says about personal use of tongues. What he's saying is when we come into church, don't all just speak in tongues. He's saying if you have a tongue and you feel that this is a tongue for the church, then there needs to be somebody to be interpreting it. Otherwise, how will we know what he said and how will we be built up and edified if nobody's interpreting the tongue? So bring a tongue, but don't bring 20 tongues. Let two or three bring a tongue and then wait for the interpretation of the tongue. And the Lord will speak in the moment to somebody else in the church and say, I believe the Lord was saying that to us through the tongue. And that's when tongues become powerful. And that's what Paul is saying. If an unbeliever comes into church and there's a tongue and the interpretation of the tongue and there's a speaking into their lives, then they will realize that God is in our midst. But if we're all just babbling in unintelligible languages, Paul literally says, they will say you are out of your minds. So tongues is a wonderful gift, but tongues needs to be interpreted in a congregational context. Amen? So that covers different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Those are the nine gifts. That's what I wanted to share with you this morning. I know it was a bit heavy, and I know it was a lot of information. But as we go into a season of discovering our gifts and the activation of our gifts, I believe it's important for us just to be aware of these gifts. So go to that last slide for me, please. We can stand together. Let's stand together. The final things I want to remind us of is the fact that Paul says we need to be eager for the gifts. And maybe I've shared something here this morning that is completely foreign to you and perhaps even made you slightly nervous. I want to encourage you this morning, take courage. Don't be scared of the gifts. If we're to take our cue from Paul, he would say, eagerly desire them. Desire the gifts. Desire the gifts because you need the gifts. You need the gifts because my body needs to be built up. My church cannot be what it is meant to be without the gifts. Therefore, know the gifts. Understand the gifts. Wrestle with the gifts. Chew on the gifts. Learn about the gifts. You will make mistakes. But just as we learn to ride a bicycle, yes, we fall off once or twice. But then you get the hang of it and you realize, don't do that, do this. And occasionally there's a bit of a speed wobble, but after a while you're flying. And you're moving confidently and doing what you're meant to be doing. I was, maybe just close before this story, on a Saturday morning we as a family, we generally like to make French toast. And I'm the chef in the house. Just when it comes to French toast. and so I know how to make that. That's about all. But it starts off generally quite orderly. And then when the kids hear that dad's making French toast, they're so eager to help. And it then gets pretty chaotic, to put it mildly. And eggs don't generally make it into the bowl where the eggs must go in. And the klits van die eiers, you know, gets very, very elaborate and excited. And generally there's a finger or two that gets burnt in the pan. But they're so eager to help dad. And to figure out how to make French toast. And yesterday, you know, it's like you've just cleaned the kitchen and everything's neat. And now you realize, okay, are you going to do this by yourself? Or are you going to allow them to participate and to be part of the morning of making French toast? And I must tell you, yesterday I was tempted. I just let me do it. And let's just, you know, save ourselves 2 hours of cleaning this kitchen afterwards. But just the eagerness of their faces, you know, just, but dad, I want to help. I want to know how to do it. And so then I make space for them and get little chairs and tables for them to stand at the stoof and break the eggs and dip the bread in the eggs and to fry the French toast and to burn a few. And it is meant to take half an hour and it takes about an hour and a half to feed the family of five. The point is that I've made space for them to make mistakes. And it's not about the perfect French toast. It's about the fact that they're part of my family. And there's some other bonding that's going on here, which is much more meaningful than a good meal. And yes, it does take 3 times longer, but the point isn't the French toast. The point is that we are doing this together. And we are making mistakes in doing it together. But we are being blessed as my little body, my little family, by being with each other in that moment. And I just, as this happened, I stood yesterday and I'm thinking obviously of the sermon that I need to preach today. And I'm thinking, you know what? Learning the baby steps of the gifts of the Spirit is a little bit like making French toast in the Wade household. It's going to be slightly messy. But just like I had grace for the kids and say, you know what, you'll make mistakes. It might take a bit longer. There'll be a spillage or two. There might even be a burnt finger or an offended person here or there when they got it wrong. It's okay. It's okay. We're going to make mistakes. So I want to tell you this morning, number one, be eager for the gifts. If you're not eager, if you're frightened this morning, I'm going to pray for you right now. Because Paul says, we must desire them. We must desire the gifts. Number two, we're going to grow in our gifts. Which means there will be baby steps. So maybe next week you'll find out that you had gifts that you don't know anything about. It's fine. We'll figure it out. There'll be grace and faith and support to grow in our gifts. All for the purpose of building the body. That's what Paul wants. The gifts are given so we can build the body. Amen? Amen. I'll pray for us. Father, thank you this morning that we can come before you. And we can be aware of, God, that which you have provided, that which you have given. And Father, this morning we even repent of our ignorance. The fact that many of us, Lord, are sitting with unopened presents, gifts that you have given us, Lord. We don't even know what's inside the box. God, some of those boxes we've opened, we've only bothered to read to page 2 in the operating manual, Father. And God, we acknowledge, Lord, that the gifts this morning are given for the edification of Shofar Franschhoek. Just like they are given for every other body and church, God. And so this morning, God, we just come collectively and we first of all thank you that you have given us gifts. Secondly, Lord, we acknowledge that we don't know exactly what gifts were given for this specific body. But we pray by your Spirit you would lead us to those unopened gifts, that you would help us and even make us brave enough, Lord, to rip off the paper and look inside. And then, Lord, just to be bold enough, Father, to start using those gifts. So I pray for every person standing here this morning. Every part of this body, Lord. Just like that human body, Lord. Lord, here before me stands, Lord, your body with gifts. May you by your Spirit show and illuminate what they were for. May you make us eager. I pray for every person here, Lord, that's perhaps frightened of the gifts. Said, no, this. Perhaps these things are stopped and they're not meant for today. Lord, we know they're meant for today. Your gifts never ceased because your Spirit hasn't ceased. And so we embrace, Lord, the gifts of your Spirit this morning in our midst. We declare that perhaps we're ignorant, Lord. So help us take the baby steps in discovering what you have in store for us. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. If there's anybody with any prayer needs this morning, I want to encourage you to come forward afterwards. Otherwise, see you next week. We'll be with Andre and Sonika Friday night, 7 o'clock. The Lord bless you. Have a good Sunday.